Does anyone remember? You see, I'm a little bit of a teacher at heart. So you always do a little review of prior learning. But don't worry, I know there's been a long gap. And in between the last time I talked around this theme, we had Easter, which was phenomenal, wasn't it? What an Easter we had this year. Wow. So if I say... Oh, Linda, hand up. It's come back to you. This is amazing. I'm going to fill this in on your individual learning plan. Go on. Oh, well, you haven't even answered yet. It's all those W's. Brilliant. I was going to say, does anyone know what's going on in my heart when I say WWW? A little bit of American high five going on. WWW. Worship. Yeah, work's the last one. Walk was the umbrella. But this is good. So we got... it's in the context of walking with the Lord, which I wanted to just pick up on some of the words that were coming through. The path and the... You know, going on with the Lord and... Wonderful. So it's in the context of walking with the Lord. I ask myself a question. How is it possible to maintain an intimate walk with God? It seems to me the scriptures speak of this possibility. Loudly and clearly from start through to finish. And I hope you agree with me. It's God's intention that we who were utterly lost, who were not just on the wrong path, we were dead. Sometimes we think before the Lord, we were kind of making some progress, but it wasn't quite right. It needed a bit of tweaking. No. We were utterly lost. Irretrievably. Dead in trespasses and sins. It's extreme. But you know what? Jesus, and we've been rejoicing again this morning about the wonder of what he's done on the cross. He has made it possible, I believe it with all my heart, for someone who was utterly lost, totally incapable, not just of walking, but without hope in this world. He's made it possible for the likes of us to be able to walk, it says in Romans very clearly, because of what Jesus has done, he has made it possible for us to be able to walk in newness of life. So that was the context. It was about walking closely, consistently, by his grace with the Lord. In this life, day by day, through thick and thin. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, it really is. It really is. Who likes a walk? I tell you what, this is the best walk you could ever go on. Praise God. So that was the W umbrella W, but you're right. Well done, everyone. And Linda, especially for you. I'll speak to you after the class. I'd like to give you a gold star. But don't tell anyone. So in the context of walking with God, worship, the word, and work. Sorry to bring that one in. But WWW, worship, word, and work. And we talked last time a little bit about the work aspect. Now, you can't really separate these out. I would suggest that as it's very difficult in a sense, when we think of, we're going to go really deep here, when we think of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we know that they're three distinct persons, yet it's one God. And in my mind, as I've thought many times about these things, when you look at how something is manifested in the purpose of God, you just look at it for a moment and you see the work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There'll be different expressions, different contexts, but you see the work of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They're not doing their own thing in that sense. So when we think about these things, I just found it helpful. We're called to worship the Father. It says the Father seeks those to worship him, doesn't it? When you think of the Word, I hope you immediately think of the Word. Jesus, the Word of God. And when you think of the Word, if you like, the execution or the executor of the Father's will and purpose, making all that Jesus is as the Son of Man. This is a line from Dad, but it's packing a serious punch over the years. All that he was as the Son of Man. I mean, this is linking in with this walk of God. It's truly staggering that the Holy Spirit comes to fill the likes of you and me, to make it possible, as Derek was saying, that we should show forth something of the glory of God. Talk about purpose. I mean, this is seriously the best work we could ever be involved in. Loving, essentially, loving him in response. Just giving our all back to him in worship. Letting the Word dwell in us richly. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, letting him outwork his unique and particular purpose through each individual. And here's the amazing thing. How he does it, I just don't get. But somehow all the unique individual expressions and wonderful... Oh, it's so colourful. I'm that too. Bless his name. How he does it individually. And then he puts us all together. And we're just a small group. But he's got something specific and wonderful to work out here at Longcroft. And he's about his business. Isn't that wonderful? How he does it. I mean, wow. It's an administrative nightmare. And I'll hold my hand up and say administration isn't always my strong point. I think if I apply myself, I can sometimes get away with some of it. But the Lord in his administration of working out his purpose, it's masterful. Just think for a moment. Just pause and ponder this right now. Just applying it to this room. We heard before from our brother that the Lord knows exactly where we are. Okay? Think of it in terms of our walk with God. He knows exactly where you are. He knows exactly how you're feeling, what you've been through, where you're heading. That's just you individually, right? And he knows that about the person sitting next to you, the person behind you, the person in front of you. He set us all together. We're all in, if you like, different places. Because we're totally different people and we're all walking with the Lord. And yet, he calls us to walk together with him. Now that, from a human point of view, is a recipe for disaster. Sorry to just say it how it is, but it really is. If you were trying to kind of bring it all together and make sure everyone was okay. And yet the Lord... as head of his church. And he's adding. I mean, I've studied a bit of group dynamics. And you've got to be ever so careful with group dynamics. You don't want to throw too much of a variable into the mix of a group. Because, boy, it can throw it big time. The church, it's just like the doors open wide. Anyone, everyone can come. I mean, that's crazy. Seriously. And it seems to me the Lord's got a particular preference for hopelessness and utter brokenness. If I'm anything to go on, I looked all right, but I came to a place where I knew I was utterly lost and broken with a heart of darkness. And Jesus went, I mean, take a look at the disciples. So he's going for this global work of outreach. Boy, what a bunch. Recipe for disaster. Personality clashes. I could have given a few tips with what the little I've studied. Oh no, not those together. Seriously, Peter needed a whole load of work before he even met the others. If it was going to go smoothly. James and John, the sons of thunder. Matthew, working for the other team. Doing the dodgy with the money. I mean, it was all... And the Lord's just like smiling. I love you. I love you. Come on. Follow me. And they weren't polished. Oh, don't you love him? Don't you? How? Sorry, I'm speaking for myself, but I'll just throw it out there. How did you get in? Isn't that good? Doesn't that take a load off? Yeah? Seriously, if you think you deserve to be in, oh, may the Lord help you. You probably, I mean, if you are sitting there thinking, oh, I had a special pre-dinner ticket. Oh, it's wonderful. I know I say this all the time, but it really is. The more I think about it, it's so full of wonder. It's so astounding. Glory to his name. And he hasn't finished. In a sense, he's finished, but he hasn't finished. Because he finished it, he's going to finish it. Think about those broken lives we're involved with. Think about those messy situations. Oh, glory to God for the work. Thank you, Lord, for filling us with the Holy Spirit. Truly astounding. So, oh, bless the Lord, the work. And I attached to the idea of the work this word engage. I don't know if you remember last time, I'm not going to go back there, but I talked about engaged workers, disengaged workers, and actively disengaged workers. And if you're interested, there's some very, very intriguing research that's been done not that long ago. And it talks about the reasons why engaged workers, this is in the context of, you know, jobs and things, why engaged workers are there, what's going on with the disengaged and why that might be happening, and what the actively disengaged are up to, and the effect that has on the engaged. It's very interesting to think about it. Now listen to this, just when we're thinking, we're going to look specifically at just a couple of verses in John in a moment. John chapter 14. But listen to this, just so you can make the link. It's just one example and there's many, many. Just so you can make the link between the three W's. You don't have to turn there. Listen to this. As they ministered to the Lord, as they worshipped him, as they blessed the Lord, as they were in his presence. Okay, there's the first one. As they ministered to the Lord and they fasted in this context, the Holy Spirit said, now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them. Isn't that, that's just a little, I keep thinking of Derek's, if you were here, he talks about these photo shots. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Isn't that interesting? You've got worship, you've got the word coming, and you've got the outworking of the word in the work of God. Wonderful. I don't know if anyone's heard the phrase, I think I might have said this at New Life Conference, so forgive me. But I don't know if anyone's heard the phrase, hard work never killed anybody. Have you heard that? Yeah. And depending on your personality, your response might be, why take the chance? Now I would say that's possibly a symptom of a somewhat disengaged worker. You kind of weigh up the risk factors and think, meh. But actually, in the scriptures, it isn't incompatible to be full of the Holy Spirit and to be in the rest of God and to be united with him and walking with him and to have to work really hard. Now, I'm not being specific about the particular outworking, but can I just suggest, for example, something that hopefully we all do in response to the Lord's great love for us and for his world? We pray, don't we? Is prayer always easy? No. It's not, is it? Let's be honest. Sometimes it's utterly heartbreaking. Sometimes, and I say this among friends, and anyone who might listen subsequently online, God bless you. Sometimes, for me personally, I find situations too much, and I feel like I can't go there. Amazingly, the Lord comes and shows me again that the weight isn't really mine to carry, and yet we work all these things out, don't we? In just this aspect, prayer. I think I mentioned before, Oswald Chambers suggests that prayer is, in fact, when it's mentioned in John 14, the greater work that Jesus was talking about. Bless the Lord. I thank the Lord, and I don't know everyone who has, but I genuinely thank the Lord for everyone who at any point in time has prayed for me, personally and specifically. I've talked to people who aren't, some people who've been through here, who aren't here now. Maybe some of them not necessarily going on with the Lord now. But they recognise that there's something ever so precious and humbling to know that people pray for them. You know, sometimes with your neighbours or people you just meet in the street, to be able to say, if it's appropriate, I'll pray for you. That's a phenomenal thing. And it's part of the work. It's part of the outworking of God's marvellous plan. Oh, praise him. Hard work. So let's think about Jesus, because that's the best thing to do. Listen to him in terms of work. You don't have to turn to these. We're going to go to John 14 and just look at a couple of verses in a moment. But before, listen, he says this: I must be engaged in my Father's business. I must. I must be in my Father's house. Do not make my Father's house a house of merchandise. Interestingly, he was talking about it being a house of prayer. Do you see the emphasis? This is the outworking. Bless the Lord. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers, the workers, are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out workers, laborers into the harvest. I love this in John 5. My Father has been working until now, and I have been working. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do the things that please him. That's got the sense of the Lord saying, I'm always kind of having what pleases the Father worked out in and through me. What a calling. I must, again, that desire. I must. I think that's the must of desire as opposed to the, oh, I've got to do it. Do you agree? I think sometimes people call it the divine imperative. Don't worry about that. this is from the very depths and core of who he is, compelling. And you know that compelling, we read about it elsewhere in Corinthians, the compelling call, it's all linked into this great urge of divine love. Bless his name. The compelling love of Jesus. I must work the works of him who sent me while it's day. The night is coming when no one can work. This is all in John, as a matter of fact. There's some cross references. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Many good works I have shown you from my Father. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And then at the end, in John 17, I've glorified you on earth. This is amazing. I thought again of when Derek talked about Paul's life in Philippians 3. That was a fascinating metaphor, by the way. He talked about Big Ben. Never heard that before. Paul and Big Ben. I was grappling with it. But anyway, he said, if you see the clock face and then you go behind, the phenomenal mechanics of what's behind, if you like, the face. And he suggested that Philippians 3 was almost like Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, saying, just come behind a moment. See what's going on. Wow, amazing transparency. And John 17, I think, of the Lord, in a sense, is somewhat like that. It's the most intimate prayer between Father and Son, and it's written down for anyone to be able to read. He just opens himself right up. It's just before the cross. He's stretching it out, isn't he? Come on, whoever, whosoever. We heard it again at the beginning this morning. Come to me. He's still calling out, like he did on the last day of the feast. Whoever is thirsty. Oh, amazing. Amazing. And he says there in John 17, I've glorified you on the earth. I've finished the work which you have given me to do. What an amazing statement to make. I'm not going to go into this now. I'm aware of the time too. But just very briefly, thank you for praying. I got a new job. I'll talk to you later. But thank you. I'm amazed. I'm absolutely amazed how it's happened. I'll tell you another time. Maybe a Sunday evening, I'll give a little testimony. I can't even get my head around it myself at the moment, so I need to ponder it. But I said to Chan, you know what? I've just handed him a notice on Friday, and I said, and I thought of you, Dave. I don't know why, strange link. Remember you speaking on dying well. Maybe I'm having a midlife crisis. But it came back to me, I thought, in my head, I thought, I've got to die well. No, finish well. And I said to Chan, pray for me. And would you please, if nothing else, can you pray for me that I will finish well? Yeah. I'll do my notice well. To the honour and glory of God. And for the blessing of these dear people. It's important to finish well. Jesus here in John 17, it's amazing. I finished the work and then outworked in the power of the Holy Spirit with the Father's heart broken. And Jesus' body and heart broken. He cries out, it's finished. for you and for me. It's finished. Debt is paid. All the accounts absolutely bang on. Not one little bit left undone. It's all absolutely watertight. Every sin paid for, past, present and future, for the whole of this lost, broken world. Glory to his name. He did it. He finished it. He finished the work for me, for you, for this whole utterly broken world. He did it. He did it. And because he did it, he can finish what he started in our lives. Because he did it, he can start new things in people's lives who don't even know about him right now. And he can do things with the thief on the cross. He didn't waste his time there, did he? He didn't have a long walk with the Lord. Bang! Today. Glory to his name. Will we engage with him in his great work? It's not our work, it's his. In one sense, it's utterly untouchable. And to our great amazement, he calls us in to yoke up. Sorry. I can't. I try and calm down. I have words with myself. I say, you're nearly 46. Get a grip of yourself. I love Pete, you're an encouragement. He lets it out sometimes, doesn't he? He's going along nice and calm and mature. And then suddenly he's laughing and he's shouting to the... That's fine. Don't do that if that's not who you are, by the way. That would just be strange. But we can be who we are. Anyway, sorry, a little aside. Oh, praise him. Praise him. Because he's finished it, he's going to finish it. Will you take that away? I've got all sorts going on. I'm big transition in my life. Our life. But just since Friday, all the people I've ever worked with, all the people I care about there, just bumped into Brian on the prom. Sorry, it all came out, didn't it? Got a new job. But the people. It's about people. It's about prayer, this work. It's not so much about what particular job we have, although at the moment that has kind of come slightly to the forefront of my mind. But I know that's not really the case. It's about people, it's about him, it's about his glory, it's about prayer, it's about walking with him in worship, eating the word, letting him outwork his work, even through us. Oh, praise him. Wow. You've got your Bibles open at John 14. Oh, I'm sorry. I keep... It's like full starts, isn't it? The gun's gone. Okay. John 14. Three verses. Should we just read them? Verse 12 to 14. And if you're familiar with these words, try just kind of let that familiarity kind of lay there, just dormant for a moment, and just read them with your eyes wide open and your hearts wide open. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, such intimate communication of truth and heart and purpose and desire and passion. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father, and whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, and the Father, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. I don't know how you interpret Scripture, how you personally go about it when you read it and ponder. I tell you what, it's good to read scripture at times devotionally. Obviously we're called to study it, but there's times where you just have to take a little portion and just allow the Lord to overcome all our preconceived ideas and our justifications and our mental gymnastics that kind of try and cope with some words like this. Oh, praise Him. He who believes in Me, the works that I do, he will do also. First thing to get onto there is that this is the whoever. This isn't for some spiritual elite who've been walking on the path for many, many moons and have got stories, great stories to tell. It is, but it's not just for the people that fill the books that we read. It's for the likes of us who may never be in a book other than, can I just slip this in, the best book ever, the Book of Life. Isn't that wonderful? Andreas was talking about the Lord giving us big dreams to dream. I tell you what, you're going to be in the best book ever. Hallelujah. It's for the whoever. Whoever believes. What is the work of God? Can I ask you that? Essentially, that's the nub of it. That's the crux of it. That's the heart of it. This is the work of God, Jesus said when they were asking, what work should we do? And He said, believe. Believe. Essentially, believe in Me. John's gospel, the whole thing, all the signs, all the I ams, the whole purpose it reveals towards the end is, these things have been written, there was loads of other stuff, but the people should believe in Jesus. Glory to His name. Glory to His name. This is beginning, and we're not going to get there, but this is beginning to touch on why Jesus says to His people there, before the cross, before Pentecost, He says, if you believe on Me, the works that I do, you shall do also, and greater works. Have you ever really grappled with that? I've been grappling with that from the moment I first started really seriously thinking in light of I had to do a talk at New Life. And I can't get it out of my heart and my head. What is that? What are the greater works? I think sometimes we are coming at it with the wrong motivation. We sort of estimate it on, He did some pretty amazing miracles, and seriously, we can do something even more astounding. No, I don't think so at all. Not at all. He's got this plan, right? That the life of Jesus, which was invested in the one incarnate Son on earth, He said, I'm going to go back to My Father and I'm going to fill whoever's thirsty, whoever will come, I'm going to fill them all with the very same life that's in Me. Glory to His name. That's going global. Isn't it? Jesus, in one sense, please don't misunderstand me, was limited in scope. But He talked about it, didn't He? When the Holy Spirit comes, you shall be witnesses to Me. And here it's already the plan is being outworked. The work of God. When the Holy Spirit comes, you shall be witnesses to Me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and even Barnston, even Liverpool, even Thailand and Cambodia, even a Himalayan country, even your street, even your workplace. This is the work of God that you believe. Oh, Jesus. Fresh today, will you? Will you stand with me and say, yes, I believe You, Lord. Yes, I believe You. It's not so much about my fulfillment. Sometimes we're looking for our own fulfillment and we're desperate, and that is another discussion. But this morning, will we believe Him? will we? Hallelujah. He wants to outwork His works even in and through us. We're going to finish. The time has nearly gone. We might come back to this another time. Who wants to believe Him afresh? This is the work. We can't separate it out from worship and His Word coming to us. They're all intertwined. Father, Son and Holy Spirit are at work. They're working actively, proactively, with passion and purpose, even this morning. Who wants to believe in Jesus afresh? I'm not talking about, for most of you I know, this isn't about salvation. I'm talking about today. Will we stand, despite what the enemy's taken us through and the Lord has spared us from, despite what the circumstances are currently? Are we going to say, yes, Lord, now I believe You? Hallelujah. If you can stand, I just urge you, I know it's a hot day. If you can't, you don't worry, but you stretch out your hand to the Lord and say, I believe You, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God. Fill me afresh with Your Holy Spirit. Work out Your purposes and plans even in and through my life. Our lives together as a church. Oh, hallelujah, Lord, we open up wide, wide, wide to You this morning. We worship You. We thank You for Your Word coming to us through the members of Your body. Oh, praise You. Praise You. We receive from You this morning. Oh, wonderful Father. Wonderful Son, Jesus, we worship You. Holy Spirit, fill our lives afresh. Bless Your name. Lord, come with Your healing and come with Your empowering and come with Your amazing grace and mercy and washing. Oh, hallelujah. Here we are, Lord. Glory to Your name. Glory to Your name. Flow through us. Lord, we're not stating how it should be. We're not dictating to You, Lord. We're available. We're willing. We love You because You first loved us. Oh, glory to Your wonderful name. Be glorified, Lord, and even in us, Your people, may there be great fruit and glory to You, Father, because of Your Son, Jesus Christ. Fulfill Your purposes, Lord, and complete everything You've started, even represented in us here today. Lord, we ask it for Your glory alone. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.